Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Do you see what God imparted to all of us? His blessings. His total, complete blessing upon all of us. That's what he imparted. And he says, I'll keep you. He's got us in his hand. He's going to cherish it. He's keeping us. He's looking after us. That's a part of that high priestly blessing that's been pronounced upon us. And then let his face shine upon us and let him be gracious. We have grace. He forgives us. He gives us a new beginning, a second chance, a start over. He just poured grace out upon all of us.
The truth is, God will never forget you. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Remember, and shows how God's promises to you will never change. So stick around, Dr. Young is coming right up. Before we dive into Dr. Young's message, there's an inspiring resource being offered this month that you'll want to hear about. It's Dr. Young's series, Know the Bible, Used by God. Again and again, the Bible reminds us that God uses unlikely and ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And this four-message series from Dr. Young shows you how to embrace God's good plans for your life and live them out today. Used by God is our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word encouraging listeners like you all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy of the Used by God series when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Remember, Part 2.
Here is Moses, this great guy who's fighting with a temper and now with depression. He gets mad, now he's depressed. He's depressed, and now he gets mad. He's mad at God. He's depressed because the people are still rebellious and they're not following their principles. They don't realize this is the way, the path to freedom. And now we see God's answer to Moses, and it is just as usual, right on target to all of this. Look what he says. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then God says, I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is upon you, Moses. I'll put that same spirit upon them, and you shall bear the burden of the people with you, and you may not bear it yourself alone. What's he say? He said, Moses, look at all these people. You have got all of these people here who have the talent to go and help you. You're complaining to me about, oh, this job is too big. I've got 2 million people to look after here. I just can't do it. Man, pick out 70 elders here and they'll help you do the job. And God says, the spirit I've given to you, I will implant in those elders. You got a problem? Anybody here got any problem? Oh, Lord, I can't handle this. This is too much. God has probably put around you and me those who can come along your side and my side and help us. And we just sit there whining and complaining about the problem we have when he's given us all we need to do the task that he has for you and the task that he had for me, just like he did for Mo. Exactly like he did. And then we see the rest of it here. It gets even clearer here for it. He says, and you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. God said, I'm going to give the people meat. That you may have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, not 20 days, but for a whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and behold, and become loathsome to you because you have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before him saying, why did we ever come out of Egypt? You sometimes, boy, I sure do wish for the good old days. Be careful what you wish for, ladies and gentlemen. Look back on the good old days. They may not be as good as you remember them to be. When I was a boy in our yard, we had what I call the big tree. When I was little, I'd go out and say, Mama, I'm going to go and climb in the big tree. I went home a few years ago, went to my old house there, looked, and I wanted to see the big tree. It's about this high. I said, surely that's not the big tree. I remember those limbs, those branches, they're still there. You see, they looked back and said, boy, we were slaves in Egypt. We had fish, and we had melons, and we had onions. We had garlic, we had all these vegetables, and now we don't have any meat to eat. Listen, they had the leftovers from the masters. They were slaves. But they remember it in a different way. They wanted to go back into slavery because they couldn't handle freedom. They couldn't handle the manna that God had provided for them, which was a supernatural gift. We want meat. Look at verse 21, Moses said, the people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. Yet you said, I will give meat that they should eat for a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Of all the fish of the sea be gathered for them to provide meat for them? See, Moses is doubting God can provide meat for the children. They are God had been provided with manna and water for 2 million people. Now they want meat. And Moses says, well, God, I don't see how in the world you can provide meat for them. But look what God did. Look at verse 23. The Lord said to Moses, has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see what I say to you will happen. Verse 31, now a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them floundering near the camp. About a day's journey on this side, about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all that day, all night, all the next day, and gathered the quail, and each one gathered at least 6 homers. And they spread them out for themselves around the camp. And while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of God was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. God can't provide his arms too short to provide meat for the people. And then all the quail came. You know what a cubit is? A cubit was measured using the tip of your long finger to your elbow, about 18 inches. That's a cubit. They had 3 feet of quail all around, miles and miles around the camp. And everyone gathered at least 10 homers of quail. A homer was 59 gallons. Each person had at least 59 gallons of quail. You think they got enough meat to eat? Oh, how beautiful it is. But here is Moses there. Moses trying to build a holy, worshiping, special people out of people who had 400 years of slavery. We have all these rules and regulations, commandments to bring them out of there. And now the cloud moves from the foot of Sinai. They've been there for a year. The cloud moves, and now he has to move the people. And they're complaining. Moses is depressed. What's back of all this? Why do we get depressed? Why do we have a temper? Well, I have a temper because my daddy had it, but no, that doesn't work. Well, I get depressed because there's depression in my family. No, that's not it. You know what the basic cause of your temper and your depression and my depression? It comes from intimate betrayal. Intimate betrayal. You see, Moses felt that he had led these people here out into a soon coming promised land, and now the people had turned against him. They were not satisfied with him. He had poured his life into them, and now he had given them intimacy, but they had betrayed him by seeking, wanting to go back into Egypt, back into slavery, when he was pointing them to a new life of freedom in a promised land. Intimate betrayal. That's the reason divorce is so deadly. In divorce, there is usually intimate betrayal. And that leads the party to go from depression to a display of temper. Depression and temper come from intimate betrayal. You open your life and heart to a friend. You share intimacies in your life, and that friend turns away from you. That friend exploits the intimacy you shared with them and uses you. We flare into temper, and we flare into depression. And you see what happens. This attacks the temporal lobe that we have right here. This temporal lobe has to do primarily with our hearing and our brain. And then when we have been through a serious, usually, kind of betrayal by someone who we were intimate with in whatever relationship, it affects this temporal lobe. And this lobe has to do with our listening and our understanding. If I say to somebody named Bill, Bill, I say to them, Bill, what a difference, same word. But when this lobe has been disturbed through intimate betrayal, that person may have trouble understanding the difference between Bill and Bill. Understand the nuance of communication, of meaning, of understanding. And therefore, there is a flare of temper. Therefore, there is a flare of depression. And by the way, temper and depression are the same part of the same coin. Depression is when we take this intimate betrayal that we've experienced. All of us have had some form of that, have we not? In different ways of life, through friends, through relationships, et cetera, et cetera. We've seen this happen, and therefore sometimes we just get depressed. And that's when we take that within us. Or sometimes we just get angry. We show a temper, and that moves without us. So it all goes back basically to the thing. This is what happened to Moses. A flare of temper. Man, he just fire out. And by the way, that flare of temper cost Moses greatly. Question, did God forgive Moses for killing the Egyptian? Absolutely. Did God forgive Moses for getting angry at God when Pharaoh didn't let them go early with the plagues? Absolutely. Did God forgive Moses when he threw down the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. Did God forgive Moses in the 20th chapter when the people said, we want water, and Moses and Aaron went and prayed to the Lord, flatter their face, and God said, speak to the rock, and I will give water. And Moses went out, and he struck the rock twice, bam, bam, and water came out, and Moses says, we have given you water. Did God forgive him for that? Yes. But the results was that Moses could not fulfill the primary purpose of his life. You know what that was? To lead these children into the promised land. Said, Moses, you'll never go in. Why? You read carefully in that verse, it said, because you have not treated God as holy. You have not treated, the main thing Moses wanted to give the people is to treat God as a holy God, as a pure God. And now he says, we, read it, have struck the rock and we have given you water. That was pride. The water came from God. The water, by the way, was given, but it was the grace of God. But Moses had that unintentional consequences. Though he was forgiven, the penalty was he could never go into the land. Anybody have a problem with temper? Don't raise your hand. Anybody have any problem with depression? I don't want to know about it. What's the answer? The answer for Moses, for you and me, it comes through usually, not always, some type of intimate betrayal. The answer is found in what Moses forgot. What he forgot, we too forget, but we too must remember. What did Moses forget? The promise of God. God said, 60 times in the book of Numbers, I will be with you. 60 times he forgot that. I'll be with you. By the way, that's all the way through the Bible. Great Commission, I'll be with you. 23rd Psalm, I'll be with you. All the way through the New Testament, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Your family, I'll be with you. And Moses forgot that. That's the reason he vacillated between temper and depression. He forgot. God said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Also, he forgot the plan of God. By the way, is everybody here breathing? Is anybody not breathing? Would you lift your hand? Look, isn't that amazing? All of us are breathing. Everybody here is alive in this room. Guess what? As long as you and I are breathing, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. And that purpose is beautiful. You know, if I had a container of water here, and I put my fist in that water, bang, that'd be splash and everything else. But I take my fist out, psh, the water goes right back where it was. Is that just your life and my life? Oh, we go make a splash, bam, and we leave this earth, psh, the water's right back. Ah, but if we realize God's plan, God's purpose, bigger than I, me, my, and mine, your agenda and my agenda, all of a sudden, God begins to use us in ways we can't even imagine. We're registering things that'll count in eternity. See, Moses said, oh, Lord, take my life. It doesn't work out like this. Just kill me right here and now. Whining, that's a part also of this temporal lobe here. When we've been deceived by someone we were intimate with, shared with, loved, walked with, that's what happens to us also as well. He forgot God has a plan. We can do the same thing. We forget God's plan for us. We're still alive. And finally, Moses forgot the power of God. Man, how in the world are we going to have enough meat to feed all these 2 million people? Lord, we'd have to kill all. And God says, if my arm's too short that I'm not powerful enough to provide meat for just 2 million people, we forget the power of Almighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to bless us. He wants to fill us with his fullness. He wants us to understand clearly he has a plan, he has power, and he wants everybody to know one thing, I'll be with you. You got a problem? I'll be with you. And so therefore, I want to pronounce in this service a high priestly blessing on all of us that are here. In the 6th chapter of Numbers, you perhaps bounce through those verses. God says to Moses, you lay this blessing on Aaron and let Aaron lay this blessing upon all of the people. And that's exactly what I'm going to do today. Would you close your eyes and hold your head back like that? Everybody close your eyes, hold your head back. Just hold your head back, be still. Just hold your head back. And here's the blessing you find all the way through the Bible, really. Bar mitzvah today, parents blessing children. In times of reverence, in times of trial, the high priestly blessing. I want to pronounce that blessing with everybody has their eyes closed, everybody has their head back. Here's the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now look at me. Do you see what God imparted to all of us? His blessings. Man, his total, complete blessing upon all of us. That's what he imparted. And he says, I'll keep you. He's got us in his hand. He's going to cherish it. He's keeping us. He's looking after us. That's a part of that high priestly blessing that's been pronounced upon us. And then let his face shine upon us and let him be gracious. We have grace. He forgives us. He gives us a new beginning, a second chance, a start over. He just poured grace out upon all of us. And then finally, he's given us peace. Peace. I've got a question. Does anybody need anything else? Can you name any other thing that you might need in this life on this earth? I don't think you can. That's not covered by that. About the blessings of God upon us. My. His blessing that he puts upon us. He keeps us. He secures us. We're in the palm of his hand. Man, what more could you want than that from the Almighty? Then he shows grace. He forgives. He lifts us up. He gives a second chance. He lets us begin again and again. Man, the grace. And then the result of that is peace. Whew, peace. My. Anybody need anything else? No. That's all of it. That's all we need. And therefore, we begin to understand and claim again what we forget so many times as Moses forgot, the promise of God, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. The plan of God, I've got a purpose for your life from this day forward. The power of God, his arms aren't too short to take care of any need that anybody here has in their life. And all the people said, amen. Amen. And all the people said, amen.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, Dr. Young, thanks for spending some time in the studio with us today. Moses didn't always trust in God's plan, but God was always faithful. How can someone today work on trusting God's plan for their life and recover from betrayals in our relationships?
Well, we all strike out at different times in our relationship with God. And all we have to do is to confess, I missed it. I struck out. And God will come and say, do you repent? Yes. Do you change your direction? Yes. Are you through with that sin? Yes. And he'll put you right back up to the plate and give you a chance to take your life and, for him, hit it out of the park.
Very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope that God is using today's message to strengthen you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you further by sending you Dr. Young's series, Know the Bible, Used by God. The scripture makes it clear that God has a good plan for your life. He even works through life's struggles to refine you so that you can reflect him and live out his purposes in the world. And this four-message series shows you how to surrender your agenda to God so he can do something extraordinary with your life. We're excited to send you a copy of Used by God as thanks for your gift to keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of this Used by God series. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young helps you see how surrendering to God leads to life's greatest victories.